We're glad you're here. We're glad that you're on the Tate Ministry, and we're glad that we've been able to set forth the Word of God. Take your Bibles now and turn to John chapter 17. Our subject tonight, Christ's prayer for His disciples. We're studying the prayer of Christ in this chapter. Now, we're not going to get through with it tonight. We're not even going to get through with this message, but we're going to stop when we find a place to stop, and then we're going to pick up where we left off next week, and we'll go on and study this portion of the Word of God. Because you see, in this portion of the Word of God, it throws out the universalist and it throws out their beliefs into a cocked hat. Now you say, preacher, what do you mean by universalist? Well, you've heard it, I've heard it, and we see it preached all over the world today that the Lord Jesus Christ died for everybody. And that the only reason people go to hell is because God can't save them. Well, that's not true. The people that go to hell, put it down now, the people that go to hell are those that are not God's elect. Now keep that in mind. Every individual that comes to Christ is one of God's elect. Now have you come? If you haven't, it's your responsibility to come. You can't sit back and say, well, I don't know if I'm one of God's elect or not, because you'll never know if you're one of God's elect or not unless you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. And when you do, it's because God has chosen you and called you and has given you to Christ, and Christ died for you, and then in due time the Holy Spirit of God applied the finished work of Christ to your heart. Now keep that in mind. Now tonight, for a few moments, we're going to look at Christ's prayer for His disciples. John chapter 17, verses 1 through 12, and then verse 20 and 22. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up His eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent. I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest Me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Thou Me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. I have manifested Thy name unto the men Thou gavest Me out of the world. Thine they were, and Thou gavest them Me, and they have kept Thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever Thou hast given Me are of Thee. For I have given unto them the words which Thou gavest Me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from them, from Thee, and they have believed that Thou didst send Me. I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given Me, for they are Thine. And all Mine are Thine, and Thine are Mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to Thee. Holy Father, keep through Thine own name those whom Thou hast given Me. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in Thy name. Those that Thou gavest Me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. Now, turn in your Bibles, if you will, to John 17, and look with me at verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on Me through their word, that they all may be one as Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Lord, tonight, it is in Thy sphere of activity that we are to meet here. And Lord, we're reminded of the night that Jonathan Edwards read the sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. How we thank Thee that Thou art still the God of our Father, and that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that Thou art our Father. And Lord, we ask You tonight, if it please Thee, would You not do the same thing You did in the days of Jonathan Edwards when he read that sermon, and the people gripped the pews in front of him because You made hell so real to those that were without Christ. Our God, we pray, would You not even start an awakening in our midst tonight? Thou dost know we need one. Thou dost know America needs one. And Lord, it's our only hope of survival. And so we cry unto Thee, speak as only Thou art able. Send forth Thy word in power and might to every one of our hearts. Teach us as well as feed us. Instruct us, Lord, and lead us. And how we thank Thee that You've made us one of Thy sheep. How we praise Thee for the privilege of knowing Thee. And now, our God, as we look to Thee for wisdom and strength, we ask again that Thou wilt send forth Thy word in power and glorify Thyself in all that's said and done. here this evening. We ask it now, Lord, for thy sake. Amen. Our subject tonight, Christ's prayer for his disciples. Now, I want you to notice very carefully that as we study the prayer of Christ, and we've been doing it now, and this is the third week we've been on it, and we're only scratching the surface, so to speak. But now, the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ had three divisions. I'm going to give them to you again. In verses 1 through 5, you find the Lord Jesus Christ praying for himself and for the glory of God the Father. Now you say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, in verses 1 through 3, you'll find out that it seems as though the Lord Jesus is speaking of himself as an individual person or as a third person. He doesn't say, Father, glorify me. He said these words. He said, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. Now, he was so intent upon the glory of God that he seemingly loses himself. And that's a good time for us to pray. Sometimes it is my hope that the Holy Spirit of God will lay such a burden upon your heart that as you pray, that you more or less are lost in that prayer. And I was reading here the other day about George Whitefield. And George Whitefield came over to Bermuda. I had never known he went to the island of Bermuda. And he came there, for the purpose of rest. And when he came there, he found out that there was a place there that there were some people that were interested in the things of God, and God opened his eyes and he saw that there had never been a real awakening in that island. And so George Whitefield was asked. He was asked one day, he said, would you come and preach to us? Well, he was supposed to travel several miles down the island, but every time he traveled a little bit farther, there were a group of people and they said, Mr. Whitefield, would you preach to us? We have never heard you and we're desirous to hear the word of God. And so he stopped one place and now another place, and by the time he got to the place where he was to preach, it was already late in the evening. Well, he went ahead and preached. And then, being awfully tired, he went to his bed, and he no sooner, or you might say he no sooner got into bed, and there was a knock at the door. And there were a group of people. And they had come to Mr. Whitefield, and they said, Mr. Whitefield, we've had to work all day long, and we haven't been able to come. Would you preach to us tonight? There's a whole group of us out there, and there were several hundred out there. And so he got up from his bed. He preached to them again that night. And truly, he did that all the time he was in Bermuda. And then one night, when he finished preaching, he went back to his bed, and they found out that when they came in the morning, they knocked on his door. It was locked. And when they came in, they found that he was on his knees, and he was in an attitude of prayer, and he had gone home to glory in that manner. Now, what happened? Well, I can understand a little bit of this. The Lord Jesus Christ was so taken up with the glory of God the Father that he most seemingly, as it were, forgot himself. And he said very clearly these words, Father, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. This was his desire. And then in verse 3, he said again, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Well, now, what were you talking about? Well, he was so intent upon the glory of God that you more or less, you might say he just was immersed in it, and he was desirous to do one thing, and that is to see that God was glorified. What an example for us to follow. I wonder how you pray. Do you pray for the glory of God? That's the uppermost thing in our heart and life that we ought to pray for. You say, well, Pastor, I'm praying that my loved ones are saved. Fine. But the first thing you need to pray for is this, that God may be glorified. Because that's the way the Lord Jesus prayed. Look again, verse 1. Father, the hour has come. Now, he didn't talk about himself going to the cross, yet he knew he was. But he said, Father, the hour has come. Then look at these words. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. And there's his interest in the glory of God. And all through the scripture, all through this passage, you will find his chief interest was that God to be glorified. Let's look at it for a moment. Verse 1, you have it. Then verse 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Then, in verse 22, look again. This is what he said. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them that they may be one, even as we are one. And you see, the uppermost thing in the prayer of the Lord Jesus as he starts out here is a prayer for the glory of the Lord God of heaven. But there's a second aspect to this prayer. And what is that? Well, he was praying also for his disciples. Now look at chapter 17 and look, if you will, at verse 11. Notice what it says. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name, notice now, those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Now, preacher, what were you talking about? Well, here he's praying for the living disciples. And what's he doing? He's asking that God the Father keep them. Well, now why? Well, they were just a little band. And the disciples were weak. You ever look at the so-called strength of these disciples? What happened to Peter? Peter was one of their foremost leaders. But what happened to him? He denied Christ three times, didn't he? All right, then the next picture we have of Peter, not only do we have the denying of the Lord Jesus Christ, but then Peter goes along and he says, all right, he said, I'm going fishing. In other words, he was going to go back to the occupation that God had called him from. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ was praying here for these disciples. Well, now why? Well, take your Bibles now and look with me, if you will, and you'll see why. In verse 14, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now, there's the reason he's praying. Now, don't you see? He not only prayed for the living disciples then, but he's also praying that way. He prayed that way for you and me. You see, when God saves us, we're ready to go to heaven. We don't have any more, you might say, we don't have any more ties to this earth. We're here, as it were, a temporary visitor. This is not your home. This is not your permanent abode. You need to understand it. If you're saved here tonight, your permanent home and your permanent abode is in heaven. And yet we're not there. And the reason we're not there is because the Lord Jesus wants us to stay here. That's why we picked out that verse tonight. Matthew 5:16. What does it say? Let your light so shine before men, doesn't it? And what else? That they may behold your good works and do one thing. What's next? And glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's why we're here. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, he prayed for these disciples, and then also he prayed for future believers. Now take your Bibles again, turn to John chapter 17, if you will, and look at verse 20 and 21. Now notice it. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Any believer ever get proud and say, well, I'm so glad I got saved. You know why you got saved? I'll tell you, Christ prayed for you. Been no other way. And what a humility there ought to be upon us. You think of it. The Lord Jesus Christ knew you back yonder over almost 2,000 years ago when he was ready to go to cross. And what did he do? All right, he prayed for you. This is what he said. Father, I pray not for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me, now notice, through thy word. And there again you have God's method of redemption. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Then the Lord God of heaven also prayed not only for the future believers, but in verse 24 he did the third thing. And notice what it was. In verse 24 he said, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. All right, now what do you have here? We have here that the Lord Jesus Christ has prayed that we are to behold his glory. Now wait a minute. We have a little bit of that when God reaches down and saves. You see, when God saves you, it's because the glory of God dawned upon your heart. You've come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. You've seen him in just a little bit. But we walk, as it were, we walk through the darkness of this earth. We live, as it were, looking through a dark glass. We see only things temporary. But our Lord has prayed, now get this, I will, listen now, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Now, believer, there's security. What are you talking about? Hold your seat now. If one believer for whom Christ died doesn't make it to heaven, then the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ has not been answered. But I'm going to tell you this. It will be. Here you have the security of the believer. What does our Lord say? He says, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me. Now notice, be with me. Where's our Lord tonight? He's not in the grave. He's not on earth. Where is he? He's seated at the right hand of the majesty on high, waiting for the time when his enemies shall be made his footstool. He's waiting for the time when all heaven and earth itself and even the things under the earth are going to confess him as Lord. And then you and I will be there and we'll be praising the Lord and we'll see his glory because we'll be with him forever and ever. Now you talk about security, there it is. Now notice, it's not left up to us. It was a prayer that God himself gave to God the Father. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself prayed that prayer, and I'll tell you right now, that prayer shall be answered. You see, it's one of the wills of God. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me. Well, now what about you that aren't saved here tonight? Well, as far as I know, you're one of God's elect here. I don't know for sure. But I'm going to tell you this. If the Lord's dealing with your heart, whatever, you have the high hopes that the Lord Jesus will save you. Why do you say that, preacher? Because God never teases in conviction. Now you keep that in mind. Some of you are going to go through. You're going to go through the throes of conviction. And I'll tell you right now, you're going to be brought down, as it were, into the valley of the shadow of death. And I'm going to say right now, you're going to be miserable and everything like that. And you're probably going to say, is the Lord ever going to have mercy on me? Like we read in Psalm 77 before, or this morning. But I'm going to tell you right now, when God brings us through, we find out that he does, doesn't he? And you see, it comes as an answer to the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this ought to be an incentive for you and me to pray more. Pray more intently and pray more frequently. And pray with a greater desire than ever before, Lord, save these that are in our midst, that are here from Sunday to Sunday and Wednesday to Wednesday. Now, what are you talking about? Well, we don't have any highfalutin program. We don't have anything that will appeal to the flesh when they come here. But what is it? If the gospel doesn't hold them, nothing will. And the gospel is holding people. And they're holding them here. And I'm glad to see that with some of you, the Lord is dealing with your heart. And I'm going to tell you right now, I urge you to keep on seeking the Lord until you find him. And when you do find him, you'll know that the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ on your behalf has been answered. All right, but there's a second thing we need to look at. We need to look now tonight for a moment or two at the different aspects of the prayer of Christ. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Well, take your Bibles now and turn to John chapter 17 and look with me at verses 6 through 8. Now, in this prayer, believe it or not, you have God's method of redemption set forth. When I was looking at this past week, I just sat back in amazement and I said to myself, Lord, you certainly must enjoy saving people. You set forth your redemption on almost every single page of the Word of God. It's the theme of the entire Bible. And we find right here in this portion where the Lord Jesus Christ is praying a high priestly prayer. What do we have right here? We have one of the different aspects of Christ's prayer. You have here the steps in conversion that are revealed. All right, let's look at it. John chapter 17, look at verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. All right, now here you have the steps in conversion. Now you say, Pastor, what are you? All right, now look again, if you will. In John chapter 17 and verse 8. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. Here's the first steps in conversion. And what is it? It's the giving of the word to the individual. Now, Pastor, what in the world are you talking about? Well, when God gives you the word, are you listening? When he gives you the word, and he did it to you if you're saved, when he gave you the word, first thing it did, you knew that he was speaking to you, didn't you? He gave you his word. It could have only been a phrase like I brought out this morning with Mary Winslow. The Lord took the words, ask and you shall receive, and drove them home to her heart. And then she struggled and fought over that for a while, and then the Lord God of heaven spoke again, and when he spoke to her word, he said very clearly these words, I am thy salvation. Well, he gave her the word. Now I'm going to ask you a question. You that are here tonight, without the Lord Jesus Christ, has God given you his word? Oh, you say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, has he made it personal to you? You see, that's the first step in redemption. And the Lord Jesus said very clearly, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. You see, the words that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke here on this earth and the words that the Lord Jesus Christ put in his book are the words of God the Father. And we find the first step in conversion revealed, and that is what? It is a giving of the word, and it's given to God's elect. And it's nothing unusual, because Romans 10:17 says very clearly, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But there are a lot of people that come to this church week in and week out. They haven't heard the word. Oh, they've heard it with their head, so to speak. But it's got to go more than that. It's got to go down deep into the soul of the individual. And the first step in conversion, as we find very clearly, is the giving of the word to the elect of God. Now, how does he do it? He does it by preaching. He'll do it some other way. I remember a story a number of years ago. This happened in England. When the Catholic Church was in power. And you know the Catholic Church hated the Word of God, and it still does. Don't be fooled by them today. They still hate the Word of God. Even though they try to tell you that they respect it and love it, they don't. They substitute their own Word. But in this case, here's what they did. The Catholic Church said, we'll get rid of this Bible. We'll not let anybody read it. And so what they do, they put it at the center of the town, and they cemented it into a wall. And all they had on there was just a one page similar to this, like this right here. But you know what happened? People would come by. And I don't know what particular passage of word they had there. But people would come by and they would read from that page of the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit of God would give them His Word, and they'd get under conviction and start getting saved. And the Catholic Church was so upset, they tried to chisel the thing out and destroy it, but they were unable to do it. God kept them there. See? Now what happened? The first step in conversion is the giving of the word. All right, now there's a second step. Again, John chapter 17, and look with me, if you will, verse 8. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. Now here's your second step. And they have received them. Now how come you and I received the word of God? Well, I'll tell you, it came home to our heart and power, didn't it? It wasn't left up to us. What did God do? God enabled us to receive the word, because you see, it's all of God and it's all of grace. And when we received it, what happened? Well, take your Bibles now and turn with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 17. And we'll show you. When the Apostle Paul went on his missionary journey, you know, he preached to all kinds of people. But in Acts chapter 17, and we find very clearly now, verses 10 through 12, these words. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women which were Greeks, and of men not a few. Alright, the second step is what? You receive it. Now, how does it come? It comes in the power of God, the Holy Spirit. And then we find the individual receives it. In other words, God puts an impression upon that heart. I can share this with you. I got a letter this past week from Mrs. Deborah Vanderloo. And bless her heart, she sent us a check for $400. Now, that's a lot of money. But the thing, and she wrote me a letter, and she said, probably you can't understand my writing very good, but I can. And this is the thing that thrills her, and it thrills me. She said, my oldest son, Case, is listening to you on the radio. And he made this statement. He said, that man is preaching the truth. Now you say, preacher, what in the world? He never did that before. Well, what's happening? I'll tell you what's happening. There's a receiving there of the Word of God. Melvin Hatampa did the same thing this past week. And he said, I want to thank you for your concern about my soul and about my family. And he said, I want you to pray for us. And he said, my face is set like a flint. He said, I've got to find Christ. Well, what is that? It's the steps in conversion. You see, it's the giving of the Word. And then there's the receiving of the Word. Now, most of you here tonight, you've been raised in this church. Some of you, I've seen you brought in when you were still in diapers. And now you're young men and young women. And some of you here, you're still not saved. All right? You haven't received the Word yet. You've got to receive it. And only God can open your heart. And my hope is that He will. And then, go back again to John chapter 17, if you will, and look at me at verse 8. And we find there's the third step in conversion. And what is it? In John chapter 17 and verse 8, we find these words. Listen to it. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. All right, what's the third step? And the third step is this. You got to believe the truth. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, let me ask you a question tonight. You that are here without the Lord Jesus Christ, do you honestly believe that if you were to die tonight, you'd go to hell? Some of you, you don't really believe that. Because, as you see, if you really believe that, you would not stop until the Lord Jesus Christ answered your prayer. You wouldn't be able to leave this building if you honestly believed that you were going to die and go to hell tonight. Now, what is it? You have a false hope. Well, I don't think the Lord's going to cut me off tonight. You don't know. But you see, when the Word of God comes in power, and there's not only the giving, and then there's the receiving, but the third thing is this, there's the believing. Now, when you believe something, you act on it. Now, you say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, today we had Bob and Betty Burgess over for dinner. And I came up to Betty, and Bonnie and Tim were right there. And I came up to Betty. I said, now, Betty, I said, my wife has sent me to invite you and your husband over for dinner. Oh, well, she didn't either. She doesn't want us. I said, all right, Zacharias. See? And she didn't believe me. I said, go over and talk to my wife. She's right there. All right, now, what were you talking about? Well, she didn't believe me. She had to hear it from my wife. All right, now you listen. You won't believe the Word of God until God writes it in your heart. And I'll tell you something else. When you really believe what God says, you're going to act on it. You're going to act on it. And this is the steps in conversion. Set right here in the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said very clearly, he said, all right, there is the believing of the truth. All right, now go back again to John chapter 17 and verses 7 and 8, and we read these words. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. All right, you have first the giving of the word, and then you have the receiving, and then you have the believing. All right, then the fourth thing is with you have this. You have the knowing God and knowing Christ. You say, Pastor, what in the world are you talking about? Well, there isn't a hope so salvation. We had some folks that came by here the last Thursday of last year, and they had dinner with us. And bless your heart, those people are just as religious as they can be. The man goes home every day at noon from his job that he might have devotions with his family. they read their Bible all the time. They had a little boy, I think he was 5 years old. He was 5 years old. He could quote by memory, listen now, the first 20 chapters of the second chapter of Luke. I bet you can't do that. See? Now, what are you talking? Just as religious as they can be, but they have no assurance in God. Now, why not? Well, they don't know. And the sad thing of it is they go to a church where the preacher tells them point blank, usually, that they can't know, which is a sad thing. But the Lord Jesus said very clearly in verse 7 and 8, now notice, now these have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. And then they have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Are you listening? Is that true with you tonight? If you're genuinely saved here tonight, you know that God the Father sent the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know very clearly that all that God has given to the Lord Jesus Christ came from God the Father, and it was given to you by free, absolute, sovereign, pure grace. And even the very faith by which we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll tell you this, it's been given to us, hasn't it? You see? Now this is right here in God's prayer. All right, there's one more thing. There's five things in this prayer. The fifth aspect is this. Now look again. We find in John chapter 17, and look again, if you will, we see these words in John chapter 17 and verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest me. And then here you have the last aspect. And they have kept thy word. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Well, if the Lord God of heaven has saved you, you've never been saved. What are you talking about? Before you got saved, the Word of God didn't mean much to you. Oh, you heard it, you didn't understand it. And you were probably glad when the service was over with so that you could go home and get involved on something else. Now, we were all that way. But now what's happened? Well, since the Lord saved us, what do we have? We keep the Word of God. Now you say, Pastor, what in the world are you talking about? Well, take your Bibles now, if you will, and look with me at John chapter 8 and verse 51 and 2, where we find the Lord Jesus says these words in John chapter 8 and verses 51 and 52. Notice, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a demon. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Well, that's still true. What are you talking about? Well, are you keeping the Word of God tonight? Let me show you. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And look with me, if you will, in 2 Timothy chapter 1. We find very clearly the keeping of the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we find in verse 9 through 12, we read these words. Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. All right, now what do you have here? Well, let me ask you a question. Are you trusting Christ tonight? Well, you say, yes, preacher, I am. Well, how come? Let me put it this way. Can you go out of here tonight and can you turn your back on the Lord Jesus Christ and on the Bible and on this church and say, I want nothing to do with this whatever because I don't believe it's so? Can you do that? Not if you're genuinely converted, can you? You know why? God has put in your heart, as well as He's put in mine, the desire to do what? To keep His Word. Now, what's our greatest heartache? I'll tell you what it is. It's the fact that we don't keep His Word as well as we'd like to. And we all have trouble with it. You're no different than I am. You have difficulty keeping the Word of God, so do I. But I love it better than this, that we are not only keeping His Word, but I'll tell you this, we are kept by Him, aren't we? And so we cannot, you cannot turn your back on the things of God tonight if you have ever truly been converted. And if you're under genuine conviction, I'm going to tell you right now, you're no different than Ray Huff. Ray wrote me a little letter this past week again. He says, thank you again for the letters that you send me. And he said, thank you for the encouragement you give me. And he said, thank you for your prayers above everything else. And he said, please, he said, don't stop praying. He said, I can't turn back. See? Got nothing to turn. But there are others. Hold your seat now. There are others that have left this church, and we haven't heard from them since they left. Now, what's talking about? Well, they're not keeping the Word of God. You know why? I'll tell you, it's not been implanted in their soul. But you see, here you have in this prayer, you have the Lord Jesus Christ setting forth very clearly the steps to conversion. Now let me close. My time's gone. Why do I say this? Well, you and I need to search our hearts anew and afresh. Have you genuinely come to Christ? Or are you like some? Well, they can find a whole lot of fault with the things that are going on in this church. Well, I'll tell you right now, this isn't a perfect church. If you're looking for a perfect church, don't come here. Because if you do, it'll be imperfect. Because you see, none of us here are perfect except in Christ. But we find here that the Lord Jesus Christ, and what's He done? He gives us encouragement. Number one, He has given to us His Word. Number two, we are keeping His Word by the power of God as the Holy Spirit works in our hearts. And then we have number three, we have an absolute eternal hope before us that we're going to see, one day we're going to stand with the Lord Jesus and we're going to see His glory. And my, what a time that's going to be. Now it may come a lot quicker than you think, because you see, I have every assurance that the Lord Jesus Christ may come before this year is out. We don't have much time left. And for you out the least, my hope is that something's been said here tonight, that the Holy Spirit of God will take to your heart and apply it to you and cause you to do what? First of all, He'll cause you to do this. He'll cause you to hear the Word and then to receive it and then also to know that all this is from God. You know it is, if it's really true in your soul. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, preacher didn't lead you to Christ. The Holy Spirit did. Preacher didn't bring you under conviction. The Holy Spirit of God did. Preacher didn't give you any assurance. So many times, like I used to tell some of the folks down south, they said, well, you preach like an evangelist. I said, that's right. I said, I preach to make decisions. And then the next day, if I have the same group, I'll try to preach them off in it. But you want to know something? When you get genuinely converted, nobody can take that away from you, can they? You serve Him. You know why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ has manifested His name unto you, and we find very clearly He's put in you the desire and the imperativeness of doing what? Serving Him and keeping His Word. This is Christ's prayer on your behalf and mine. May it be fulfilled in your heart. If you don't know the Lord Jesus at this hour, is my prayer. Shall we sing?